Hello, everyone. This is Sophia from Season of Ghosts, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit.
Welcome to The Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Okay, it's just different cameras.
Yes. And
hence the brick wall behind. Yeah, definitely makes sense for the same location. Okay, good.
Yeah, we really like it. We've worked really hard on this little studio, and yeah, God, it's just been so much work.
Yeah, I can understand. It's also a very thankless line of work, because you put so much into it, and what you get out of it is mostly your personal pleasure. It might lead to something else, but it's not guaranteed. So, yeah, I've been there because, you know, I used to work in the music industry as a professional in various positions. So, yeah, I can definitely feel you.
Very cool. You know, speaking on that, we'll just jump right into this. So,
absolutely.
Right now you're in Season of Ghosts. And you've got two albums released, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're working on your work. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just you can finish your sentence.
You've got the two albums. Are you working on new music now?
Yes, actually, we are in the middle of pre-production of our third album that we're hoping to have out by either the end of this year or the start of the next. But we are definitely going to have a new single in the next few months, so you won't have to wait that long for fresh material from us. And we're actually doing all the groundwork here at home because it's between me and Sam, and everybody else is working remotely, which is Paul, our session bassist. He's working on his own bass parts, and our external associate from Russia that is in charge of keyboards. His name is Fatal Fee. So he's working all the way from Russia. it's a coordinated process. So yeah, 50% is done here and the rest remotely.
Technology is wonderful, isn't it? No more of the days of having to be in the same room.
Exactly. Like, if you use it for good, it can do magical things.
I mean, that's awesome. What is it like to work with people from, like, so many different places in the world?
I've always been an online kind of person. So, although I did grow in a very analog way, thank God. I mean, like, there was no internet when I was a teenager, so, or at least, like, not many people had access to it. So it's great. I mean, like, we could have been all sorts of stupid people and nobody has any record of it. It's not recorded on the internet forever and people can bully you until death. I grew as a 100% analog kid. But then I really embraced the internet life, the online thing, and I fully understood early on, the endless possibilities that this could offer you. So for me now it feels natural working with so many people from a distance, and as long as people are aware and they are fully integrated into this online life, it's possible to work with people seamlessly, and whether we're talking about a music project or corporate life, which is also, like, for example, in my day job, I always do remote positions. So in my day job, the entire company is working online. So there are ways to streamline, the workflow and to make it work for you. And obviously music is no different.
Today's episode of The Mosh Pit is presented by The Skin Store. For over 20 years, The Skin Store has been the number one destination for premium skincare, hair care, and beauty products. With over 8,000 different products from 300 different brands, The Skin Store has you covered for all your hair, cosmetics, supplements, and of course, skincare needs. Find your favorite brands like Elta MD, New Face, Olaplex, and more, all in one place with gifts with every purchase. Right now, The Skin Store is offering our listeners 20% off your next purchase by using the code POD. That's code POD for 20% off your next purchase at skinstore.com/POD.list. Skin Store, have the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Exclusions may apply.
Pretty awesome. I mean, it's really interesting to be around and alive in this age where you can film a video and teach someone how to draw a face, or record a part of a song and send it over to your keyboardist in Russia.
Yes.
And okay, here's your part. It's very it's interesting to live in this world,
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting. And that's not to say that physical presence is not important. It's highly important, especially when you play music. That's why nothing and nobody is ever going to substitute face-to-face concerts, because it's the human experience that makes it worthwhile. And playing in the same room with your friends is like nothing else. Okay. But what I'm saying is that that's a very close second. Being able to do your job without having to painstakingly save money to travel here and there and to waste money and resources in something that can be solved so easily online.
Mm-hmm. And all that time that you're saving, I mean, we all know in business and in music, time is money.
Oh, yeah. So, time is money, too. So you might be saving money or like, but you're bleeding time. So right. Again, so it's, yeah, thanks to the internet and technology, things have been, the process, the creation process has been optimized, in my opinion. So I'm very thankful and grateful for all of it.
Cool. Very cool. Now, another thing with your internet, you've got, you're doing a voiceover for Journey of a Dead Man audio series?
Yes, that's true. I'm not talking about those kinds of things because I'm really not confident about my ability. It's something that I picked up very recently and I haven't really had any formal studies yet. So I can say, yeah, I've got, you know, a good footing, you know, so I can start speaking about it. So I'm mostly silent about it. But yeah, that series actually took off and it surpassed 1,000 downloads now. And for an independent production, like that was created with almost no budget. That's, yeah, it's great.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, congrats on that. And, you know, I'm looking forward to checking it out myself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take us back to 2014 when you were at the Metal Female Voices Festival. That was your first show. What was that like?
Oh, my God. The stress. Well, I hadn't been on stage since the middle of 2012, and that was in Japan, with my previous band. So from, imagine, summer 2012 until September, October, it was? Yes, it was October 2014, okay? And appearing in front of a basically sold-out festival. And also it was early in the morning. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how are we going to sound believable? How are we going to sound that like we're not going to actually sing about cornflakes and muffins or something? I'm like, my God, I'm waking up at 7 o'clock. How the hell am I going to appear like it's midnight, you know, with all the makeup and the fluffy whatever feathers I'm wearing on the head and the PVC from top to bottom, you know, so it was a challenge. It was a very big challenge, but it was amazing because we had just started. It was our very first concert, so we said, okay, so you're saying you're a professional musician, prove it. try to do that, like being called for how many years, not performing in front of anybody, now perform in like the top of the morning in front of people that mostly don't know you. So yeah, prove it. Like if people get excited, then you won. So I'm like about to have a panic attack, like legitimately, because I do have the part of social anxiety focused on performing. So I'm about to have a panic attack and I'm like, I start pulling jokes with the people that were watching us, like during the intro of the song and everything. We also had technical problems that further, you know, encouraged that panic attack. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So I start pulling jokes. People start responding. We're all having a good laugh. We fixed the technical issues. And then the entire concert was okay. So if you see videos from that performance, You see that while we were having fun, I was a little bit pissed because, you know, you know, the clips were taken from the entire performance, like from all the songs. So the clips that were taken from the first song, I was like, I'm a bit pissed. I'm a bit gonna panic. The rest, they look a bit more relaxed. So I'm talking about the video with the live footage from Dream Paralysis. That was our very first video. So you can see the footage there. Some of my face is there. It's like, oh my God, I'm pissed. I'm going to kick somebody. And then the rest is like, yeah, yeah, we're having fun here. So, yeah, this entire mini story I just described, you can see it in that video, Dream Paralysis.
Cover of Sarah's song from Hocus Pocus in 2014.
That's right. I do believe it came out Halloween 2013. And that was, yeah, I think so. Yes, and that was our very first quote-unquote release. And that was when Season of Ghosts, thank you, when we actually started and we said, hey, we're here and we're going to make an album. So yeah, late 2013, we started and we kicked off with that song. And I was sitting with Sam, and while he was still living in Italy, and we were friends. Back then, we were just, you know, we're working together casually. And I said, why don't we cover that? Because we are both huge fans of that film, and we had watched it like a million times as children. That's how it happens. And it doesn't get old. I still listen to it, and I still like it.
Oh, yeah. I was telling Wes that Hocus Pocus is, like, even if it's not Halloween, I'll watch Hocus Pocus. I mean, it is one of my favorites. And then I was like, oh, dude, one of your bands covered my song, man.
yeah, that song was good. And the entire movie is so beautiful. Like, we watch it almost every Halloween.
Can you take us through what your inspiration is on writing songs?
Okay. So when I write songs, I cannot say that I'm listening to music, although I should be probably. It's kind of unorthodox to not listen to much music, but mostly I'm getting inspired by experiences, and I'm getting inspired by observations, energies, and perhaps written words. Like, for example, a very big inspiration of mine is the work of Neil Gaiman. That's my favorite author, and he also created my favorite, it's not comics, it's graphic novels, I guess, The Sandman, okay? So I don't know if you're familiar with Neil Gaiman's The Sandman, but that's has been kind of my Bible ever since I was a teen. This is also the reason why I chose the name Season of Ghosts. One of them, the graphic novel collections that's of The Sandman is called Season of Mists. So, yeah, and it's super dark, super gothy, and super spiritual and deep, and really, really makes you think. So it's basically literature in comics.
That's very cool.
So these kind of things really inspire me when I write music. But also, you know, being in a situation, like, for example, you're having a walk in the park, or you are having, you're traveling and you're seeing a place for the very first time. So automatically I might have words or notes or an atmosphere or a concept, okay, that comes to me and says, okay, that feels just right. So I always have notes in my mobile, and I either sing it, I take a vocal note, or I write a title that comes to me, or the words. So I always end up with a few hundreds of titles or phrases that click, and a few dozens of vocal notes always before writing an album. And that's exactly what I'm trying to manage at the moment. It's chaos. I don't know what to pick.
Yeah. Mine is a bullet journal. When I'm trying to figure out what I want to paint, I'll do a bullet journal, and I have a page in my journal that is
exactly.
Like ideas.
Exactly, exactly. So you understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, because I'll be walking and I'm like, oh, that's a pretty flower. Take a picture and write flower.
Exactly.
It could be anything in the world, though. It could be the girl next to you's red shoes. I mean,
yeah.
It could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like an interaction that somebody's having with somebody else, a facial expression, anything.
My brother told me one time, it's kind of weird going like to the mall or something. He's like, you never know what you're gonna paint. You never know what you're gonna like sing about, or you know, like not sing about, but like paint about or create. You know, one time I drew a picture of him with his hair flopping up because he didn't brush his hair that day, and I thought it was funny. He was like, no.
So, she was not excited.
No, he was like, I was like, you should start brushing your hair then.
Yeah, but you were depicting a very real everyday scene, so that's precious.
You guys are still in lockdown, are you not? Or
have
restrictions
yeah.
been lifted?
Don't even get me started. you know, the UK has had one of the world's, or the Western world, should I say, harshest lockdowns. I think we're number one, apart from Ireland, number one in length and severity. It's like 1 year that we basically go nowhere. We're not even allowed to leave our municipality at all. So in theory, like, we're not allowed to see anybody at all unless we were talking about 1 month last summer and 1 month before last Christmas, but that was it. So, oh, wow. Yeah, technically we are allowed to see one more person as long as they live alone. If you decide that they are your support bubble, but that's it.
That's crazy.
And that's one year like this. So not very easy for people who are previously, you know, in challenging mental states. I mean, like, even if you were fully healthy, now you have mental issues, and understandably so. Not to mention the economic implications of that. Like, for example, I was working, like, for over a year, I was working for an American company. And when COVID blew up, I lost my job. Although I was an asset for that company, I was, you know, they just deleted my position. My position doesn't exist anymore. Because that was quite sad, because the U.S. companies didn't furlough people, or at least the remote. Yeah, whereas UK companies, they did furlough. So that's quite difficult, you know. So everybody's facing this kind of reality, more or less.
Right. Well, let's move on to a happier subject. When things start to open up, are there any venues that you're looking forward to playing again, like some of your favorites?
Some of my favorites. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing in our local London, Camden, the Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very nice venue that we used to play a lot before the pandemic hit. And so we have lots of beautiful memories there. And also there is a very nice venue in Rotterdam in the Netherlands. It's called Baroque. So definitely looking forward to that. I know that they are struggling, and that's why we're participating in a charity campaign that is backing and that's supporting those two venues, including those two venues, but also many other prominent European venues and some lots of smaller ones. So it's a charity campaign. It's called Epic Struggle for Survival. It's a campaign that basically whoever buys a t-shirt, everything goes to charity to support people who are working in the venues, like they're doing the lights, the sound, you know, talent.
That's awesome.
Independent people, you know, the small guys, you know, not huge companies like Live Nation or anything.
Right. So
small venues like what I mentioned, but good ones, and all the talent behind it. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to, you know, to go and seeing those people all around Europe. Like, for example, Turok in Germany also. That's a very good venue too. Big, beautiful. Incredible service, incredible staff. They are also struggling. The campaign also includes them. So, I cannot wait to go back and see them and thank them for their service.
Very cool.
It just it makes me very sad that something like this is causing businesses that have brought people so much joy.
Yeah.
It's just caused heartache and hurt like this. I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy, but at the same time, I'm very proud to hear that people are willing to go out and help them, because, I mean, like I said, they bring a lot of joy to people. Like you said earlier in the conversation, live music is unlike anything else. You can listen to the radio, but when you're in a crowd and you've got the lead guitarist turning and pointing at you and posing for pictures for you, it makes you feel special as an audience member, and they feed off of you. So I mean, it's a good experience.
Definitely, definitely. And it's also a fact that the big loser, so to speak, of the pandemic is art, because I do not think that there has been another industry that was so unappreciated and with the had less benefits or whatever help support from public institutions than art. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I speak about music, I speak about everybody involved in art. I think nobody cared. And the funny thing is that when things go south, everybody relies on art for their life, for their mental health, for their everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when things go south for the whole world, art is disregarded and is left to die.
Yep.
It's quite sad.
It is. It really is. But I guess I'm one of those that I'm kind of looking on the bright side of this gives everybody time, because you got to think there's going to be some killer music come out of this. I mean, 2020 was rough, and trauma is like the best thing for music and lyrics.
Yeah. True.
That's me.
Yeah, true, so. True. The artist has to suffer for their art, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, for sure, I can tell you that our album is going to be angrier than anything we've ever released. Like, Sam was seriously pissed off. And even our death vocals are coming back. I'm thinking of doing them again this time. Never as a main vocal, always as, you know, a side kind of thing. But yeah, they are coming back. They haven't been back since The Human Paradox, but they are coming back.
Into you, it's true.
Definitely excited. Do you have any advice on any bands who are trying to make it in this industry, those up and comers?
Well, there's a lot of things I could say, actually, but there's a few things that are more important than others. And I believe that one of them is being a good person and not being basically like a blanket, an umbrella term, you know, expression would be like, be a nice person, don't be a jackass. What this would mean is like, you know, people have to be respectful of others. And I really hate it when I see big egos in the music industry. It's like this kind of a typical rock star kind of attitude that you see on people, not necessarily famous. You know, maybe they have, I don't know, released half a demo and they feel so entitled and they feel so important and they feel so, oh my God, I want all the girls, you know, like, or girls, you know, they feel like, oh my God, I'm the goddess of this world, it's like Jesus. You know, like, I mean, humility is a virtue for a reason. So good manners, I would advise good manners towards your bandmates and towards your fans and towards the people that you work with. I would advise integrity, honesty, because if you're fake, people are going to see through you. Maybe not today, maybe not in 2 years, but they are going to see through you. And also you are going to attract fake, not fake fans per se, but fake people, you know, that have that kind of trait, character trait in them. So, yes, I believe a wholesome kind of attitude is the best for today's kids, especially in such a turbulent society that promotes dubious values and all the traditional values and all the good things of the past, because there are plenty of bad things from the past. The good things of the past are being erased. Lots of question marks about everything. So it's very difficult to stay in one piece mentally and as an artist. So I believe looking deeper into yourself and always being, always having humility in you and your brain inside your head and not floating on top of your head. I believe that's a good base. That's a good ground for becoming a musician.
I like that. Your brain inside your head, not floating on top.
Yeah.
I like it.
You've toured with a lot of bigger bands and mainstream artists and stuff. Who would you like to collaborate with if you could?
To collaborate as in a song or something?
A song, an album, even tour with. Who, if you're booking a tour, who's yours?
I never think of things like that. But because like I said, as opposed to probably the majority of musicians, I don't listen to a lot of music. And I believe that's a bad thing, but it really doesn't come out of me. I listen to jazz and I listen to classical music and I listen to bossa nova, stuff like that. You know, I don't listen to bands. I don't know why. Probably I'm getting old. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, if I had to think of someone that I would like to tour with or to work with, maybe it would be One Ok Rock. It's a Japanese rock band. And I really love their music. So yeah, they are spelled like One Ok, OK Rock, but it's pronounced One Ok Rock, like 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's
cool. So yeah, they are a huge J-rock band. They are very nice and uplifting. And What else? So many people have compared us to baby metal because this is the way they comprehend what we do.
Yeah.
So maybe baby metal, why not? I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not a fan of idols, of, you know, the Japanese girl bands, but that would be a funny combo. Yeah. That would,
Very cool.
Funny.
Do you have your three goals for the end of this year for your band on things that you want to get done?
Sorry, could you please repeat?
Oh, I said, do you have three goals in mind that you want to complete by the end of the year?
Goals?
Goals, yes.
Oh, goals, okay. Oh my God, I always, I definitely have. I want to have the album completed by the end of May. I want to have a new single out by early summer. And I would like to start playing shows like somewhere in the middle of summer, where I believe that everything is going to be not normal, but yeah, things are start opening up. So that's the target, to start touring again, at least locally in the summer, and then perhaps expand to Europe somewhere in September, October. So yes, so I believe that's, and yes, and finalize the album obviously for release either the end of 2021 or the start of the next year. And then, you know, have things lined up for Asia and the US for 2022 early, you know.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, definitely excited to see you guys over here in the US.
We haven't been there Atlanta for a while. Atlanta.
Atlanta, I hope Atlanta is a stop, because you guys gotta come see our studio.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind, and say to any tour managers that ask me, like, where would you know, like to go? Perfect. Perfect.
Miss Sophia, I appreciate you sitting in with us today on this interview.
Likewise. Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you so much for your hard work with Mosh Pit Podcast.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And, you know, that means a lot that you guys listen and, you know, promote and everything for us, because we do the same with y'all and everything that you do.
That's wonderful. It's a very precious relationship, and I always feel so grateful for each and every podcast, magazine, webzine, anyone and journalist who has ever supported me since my start, like 10 years ago, even when I was with my previous band, because I know that this is a difficult line of work, and exactly because a lot of it, it's more work and less benefits, less profit. So I really, really appreciate it. And I really appreciate your love for music. Because we wouldn't do much if it wasn't for you guys and for our fans.
so sweet the taste.